The gospel reading today, as our Lord asks his apostles who people say that he is, he gets a variety of answers. Some say John the Baptist, others Elias, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And we need to look at the names that are there because of what it implies. For instance, John the Baptist, some people thought that maybe John the Baptist had risen from the dead and that's who Jesus was and so on. But the reality is, again, you look at John the Baptist, he's a man of suffering. He's a man of great penance, and ultimately, for standing for the truth, had his life taken from him. We see the prophet Elijah, also a man of great suffering. He wasn't martyred, he was taken up to heaven. And so we look at our blessed Lord, who was indeed martyred and was taken up into heaven. And then we have Jeremiah. Jeremiah, of all the prophets, is the one who is probably best known for the amount that he had to suffer. The amazing things that that poor man was put through because he spoke the truth. And as amazing as these people are, the question still comes, and who do you say that I am? So this is all looking in the context to be able to say, all right, we have figures of the prophet Elijah, the prophet Jeremiah, the great John the Baptist, and yet these pale in comparison. They help us to understand. We can look at their lives, we can look at their deaths, we can understand and learn. And yet at the same time, none of them are the Messiah. And the Messiah certainly is going to have to suffer as they did. The Messiah is going to be rejected as they were. The Messiah is going to be martyred and taken to heaven. So all that is necessary background. And it's interesting as people are trying to figure all of this out, all these things they come up with. To a degree, they were on the right track. And yet they were wrong. First of all, the idea of Elijah, maybe that one would be okay since Elijah is going to come back before the time of the Lord. And yet at the same time, we also know that the spirit of Elijah was given to Elisha. The spirit of Elijah was given to St. John the Baptist. And so consequently, as Jesus told his disciples when they said, well, why do people say Elijah has to come first? He said, Elijah has come. They did with him what they wanted. He said, it says they understood he was talking about John the Baptist. And so Elijah had already come. They didn't necessarily understand that. That is, the regular people didn't necessarily understand that about John the Baptist. So when they're saying Jesus might be John the Baptist, you know, we know that that was a problem. Herod had heard that and he said, oh, John the Baptist, I beheaded him. He knew that that wasn't John the Baptist, but who is this guy? We don't know. And so it, you know, as they're looking at it, could this be Elijah? Could this be the return of the great prophet who is going to prepare the way of the Lord? Well, they missed the boat. It is the Lord, rather than a prophet that was sent to prepare the way. When we look at Jeremiah, again, we see that they were pretty much on track. They were looking at the sufferings of Jeremiah. They were looking at what God said to Jeremiah, that he would be a wall of brass, that he had to speak the truth, but the people were going to reject it, but God was going to make him like a wall of brass against the people anyway. To whomever he sent him, Jeremiah had to speak the word of the Lord. And so we see that in the life of our blessed Lord. But rather than looking at it as Jesus was like these people, we actually need to look at it the other way around. They were like him. It wasn't so much that he was like the prophets, it's that the prophets, being called by God to do the work to which they were called, were like the Lord. They were like God. They were not gods, obviously, but they were like the Lord in that sense that they took part in the work of God, that they were called in a very special way to do whatever it was that they were to do. And as we have talked about before and need to be very clear about it, if one is called in a very particular way by the Lord to something special, you better brace yourself, because that means you are going to get pounded. You are going to suffer immensely if you have been called by the Lord to something special. People have these romantic ideas of, oh, wouldn't it be so wonderful to be called to be a prophet? Wouldn't it be so wonderful to do this or that or that? Yeah, well, on one hand, yeah, it is. And on the other hand, when they get body slammed enough times, they begin to wonder if this is so wonderful. The call, the work that they're to do is indeed wonderful. But in order to be able to do that work, they have to be able to be purified. They have to do the work that's going to open the hearts of the people to hear the word. And so they're going to suffer. And so then we come to our blessed Lord when they ask the question, who do you say that I am? And when Peter is able to respond that you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God, once again, our natural way of looking at this would be to say, all right, he is indeed correct. That means that he's not going to have to suffer. He's God. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of the living God. No, this isn't going to happen to him. Peter thought that. Remember Jesus, it's right after this passage, in fact. Jesus told him what's going to happen. Oh, no, that can't happen to you. He said, get behind me, Satan. You're not thinking as God does. You're thinking as people do. So if the prophets are participating in God's work, and therefore they have to suffer this way, when God comes into the world, and this is God's work, this isn't just the participation in it, it is the Lord himself who's doing the work. And if the hearts of the people have to be open to be able to receive what he is preaching, and most importantly, the salvation and the redemption which he brings, how is that going to happen? Only through suffering. So we've looked at it many times and recognize, of course, suffering is part and parcel of every single one of our lives. We do everything in our power to avoid it, and God, with his infinite imagination, just keeps coming up with new ways to provide it. We're not going to be able to escape it. It's necessary. But the question is, how are we handling it? How are we accepting it? Are we uniting it with the suffering of Christ and offering it for others so that they can open their hearts, so they can receive the grace? Are we able to accept it for ourselves so that our hearts can be open more, so that we can receive more, so that we can love more? All these things are what we have to look at. Because when somebody asks the question, who are you? We can come up with all kinds of goofy answers. You are a son or a daughter of God. You are a member of Jesus Christ. So if Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and therefore he's going to have to suffer all these things, you are a member of Christ. You are a son or a daughter of the living God. Guess what? You're going to participate in his work. More so even than the prophets. They were called by God. They were part of the people of God. They were not members of the Messiah. They were not sons and daughters of God through baptism. You are. So every one of us is going to have to deal with that, with that is, with what's going to follow from it. And then if you're called to something particular beyond that, yeah, then you really need to look out. But it's something that's going to come to all of us, because the answer to that question of who am I, that's the answer that is true for every one of us. Not obviously in the same sense it is for our Lord. He alone is the Messiah. He alone is the Son of the living God. But it is true of all of us as members of Jesus Christ. So when we look at that, we have to look very carefully to understand, okay, if we know what the prophets are about, this one's greater than the prophets. And this is again where it becomes interesting, because you, as a member of Jesus Christ, in that sense, are greater than the prophets. So if this is what the prophets had to do, then it's what you and I are going to have to do. So who is Jesus? The answer to that is how you're going to have to answer the question when you look in the mirror, who am I? And we tend in our society, because we listen to the voice of Satan rather than the voice of God, we tend to think ourselves to be worthless trash. We think ourselves to be refuse, somebody who's cast off, somebody that God doesn't want. God couldn't love me. You're his own son or daughter. He's in love with you. Oh no, he wouldn't let me go through all this if he really loved me. Right, look at the cross and then ask that question. If God really loved Jesus, who is God, would he allow him to go through that? Then why, if you and I are sons and daughters of God, wouldn't he allow us to go through it? But it's not a matter of him allowing us to go through it, it's a matter of our disposition toward it. So who do you say that Jesus is? Then look in the mirror and say the same thing of yourself. Recognize the immense dignity that God has given to you. Recognize what's going to follow from that immense dignity and embrace it. To recognize that you have been given a participation in the work of the Messiah, that you have been given a participation in the divine nature and the divine life because you are a son or a daughter of God. This is the immense dignity that God has given to you. That's what needs to be accepted and embraced and put into practice. That is the glory that God is giving us in this life. The glory as we see with those that are named. But it doesn't end with this life, and we know that. That's why it's wonderful to look at Elijah. That's why it's even greater to look at Jesus, because we know where it ends. With the resurrection, the ascension, and the glorification at God's right hand.